Amen. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And as you're turning there, if you've still not received the notes for this morning's message, I want to just encourage you to raise your hand and the ushers will get that to you. If you're looking for them, they should be in your bulletin that looks something like this. And if you did not receive one on your way in, then just raise your hand. The ushers, that's what they're here to help in. And that is to get you all that you need as we study God's Word together this morning. So you'll find the notes there, Galatians chapter number 5, and we're continuing our series on I Can. I can. As a Christian, we've got so many things that we can do, and it's nice to every once in a while just stop and pause and reflect on what it is that God has allowed us to do, what we can do through Him. And in fact, His Word says in Philippians that we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And so it's a matter of not what I can do with my own power, but what I can do through Christ. And we've been studying just different passages that teach us what we can do in Christ. Galatians chapter 5 is another passage like that, and we want to grow this morning in this idea of I can serve. This month we've been having what we call recruitment month, and what we do is for members of the church, we have an opportunity to go ahead and sign up for a different ministry here in the church that we can serve in this year. And God has called us to salvation, but He's also called us to service, and we're going to learn a little bit about that this morning. And I want to encourage you, if you've not yet signed up to one of the ministries here in our church, I want you to really make a priority this morning as we dismiss to go to one of the tables there in the lobby and look at the different ministries. We have so many that which ministry God will have you to get plugged in into and begin to serve in. It's something that's so important for your Christian life, for your growth, and something that I know will be a help to your own spiritual life as well as a help to the church as we do our best to serve Christ in all we do. So, Galatians chapter number 5, we're going to look at verse number 13, start in verse number 13, all the way to the end of the chapter in verse number 26. It says like this, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for allowing us this morning to once again be in your house. Father, as we take time now to worship you through the study of your word, I pray that our minds and our hearts would be totally focused on what we are doing at this time. Father, I pray that any distraction that might be coming into our minds, whether it be because of work or whether it be what we have to do later this week, Father, I pray that those things would be put aside, and that, Father, we could just come together at this time and just really focus on what your word says. Father, as we study this truth of serving you and serving others, I pray that it would be a truth that would speak to us this morning. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, help me to communicate the message in a way that would be clear, in a way that would be an encouragement and an help to your people. And then, Father, I pray that not only would we be encouraged and exhorted, but, Father, that we would apply your word and live it in our lives, that we would be able to, be able to draw closer to you and be more Christ-like in the way in which we live as a result of studying your word and applying it into our lives. So be with us this morning as we do just that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Christian life is a life that is all about the truth that says, I can. It is a life unlike any other because really it focuses on the fact that all things are possible through Christ. That's what makes the Christian life so unique and so different. It is a life of I can. But I want you to know that in the Christian life, there is a paradox that is very interesting. A paradox that if you think about it, almost doesn't make sense, but it makes perfect sense. And this is the paradox. The paradox is that we've been made free by Christ to serve in slavery. We've been made free through Christ to serve in slavery. In fact, it's one of the greatest responsibilities of any Christian to serve God and to serve others. In fact, somebody might say it's the priority, the primary responsibility of a Christian, serving God and serving others. And what we've been saved to do is to serve. Now, I heard about this CEO that was a CEO of a really big company, and him and his wife were traveling, and they were just traveling for vacation up to Montana, and on their way, going that way, about halfway up, they stopped at a gas station. They had to fill up with gas and get some snacks. So they fill up with gas and they go inside to get snacks. And as they're going inside, this CEO, he notices that his wife begins to talk to, the clerk that's there at the gas station, the guy that's, you know, charging for, the food and stuff that's working there. And as he takes a closer look, he notices and he sees that that was his wife's ex-boyfriend. When they were in high school, she used to date this guy. And he thought, oh, okay. And of course, he went and said hi afterwards, and they paid for their snacks and got back in their car and got back on the road. And for the first, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, it was really quiet. No one wanted to say anything. But finally, the CEO, he looks at his wife and he says, you know, I bet you I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, man, Aren't I glad that I married you, the CEO of this big company, and I didn't stay with that other guy who's just a gas attendant at a gas station? And she looked at him. She said, no, that's not what I was thinking at all. She said, what I was thinking was, if I would have married him, he'd be the CEO of a big company, and you'd be working in some gas station. You know, sometimes what we think is a matter of our genius really is that somebody else is enabling us to do it. It's that somebody else has given us the power to do that. And that is a truth that we find here in Galatians chapter number 5. It's a truth that you'll find in your Christian life when it comes to serving God. It's not a matter of our genius, it's not a matter of our talent, but it's a matter of what God has enabled us to do. Now, let me give you a quick context of what's happening here in Galatians. Galatians is a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to this church in this city of Galatia, and it's a church that Paul knew very well, a church that Paul actually was one that was reaching people. He knew the people of that congregation. Many of them he led to the Lord himself, and he began in that church, working in that church, building that church, and God had him there for a certain time before God took him to another city to start another church. But as he left to start at other church, there were some other teachers, some false teachers that got into this church in Galatia, and they began to bring a false teaching, a wrong teaching. And the wrong teaching that they were teaching the Christians at Galatia was this. They said, if you really, really, really want to be saved, you need to have more than just Jesus in your life. If you really want salvation, if you're truly going to be saved, you got to have Jesus, but then you also have to have some works in your life. You have to have both. You see, Jesus can't do it alone. You're going to have to fulfill the law of Moses. Now, if you don't know about the law of Moses, the law of Moses was more than just the Ten Commandments. You can boil these rules and regulations down to the Ten Commandments, and you can really boil it down to just two commandments if you'd like, but there are 614 commandments, all right, in the law of Moses. The Ten Commandments is just obviously 10 of them. And they were teaching, listen, if you really want God's favor, if you really want salvation, it's Jesus Christ and then the works that go with it. And one of those works is that you've got to be set apart and you've got to be circumcised. And they were teaching this Gentile nation that you had to do that. Now, circumcision was something that only the Hebrew nation did. And so now they were getting these converts that came to Jesus Christ that had been saved, and they were telling them, now you have to do that too, because that's what Moses commanded us to do. And salvation is about Jesus and doing good works. Now today, there are others that teach that as well. There are some that would teach, well, you need Jesus, but you also need these things called sacraments. And if you do the sacraments, then God will accept you. Then God will save you. But if you don't, then you don't have salvation. You don't have any security. Or there's others that will teach, well, you can have Christ, but then, listen, you have to have a really, really good deed in your life. You've got to become part of our church. If you don't become part of our church, you're really not going to be saved. God really cannot save you. That was the false teaching that was being taught there in Galatia. So Paul spends a lot. In fact, the first four chapters of this book of Galatians, Paul is writing how faith, how salvation is by faith in Jesus alone. If you look in, I think it's in chapter 2, in verse number 16, Paul writes, knowing that a man is not justified or being saved by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified or saved by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul says you can't get saved by doing any kind of good work. Your works aren't good enough. No matter how good they are, they're not good enough. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. So he talks about that, and we don't have time to read through every verse. I wish we did, but you can go through all the first four chapters, and you'll find how Paul is trying to teach them. Listen, that teaching that had been taught to you, that it's by works and by faith, that's not true. It's only by faith. Faith alone in Jesus Christ. But then the last two chapters, Paul says, this is why this is important. This is why it's so important. Because the truth is, if you're wondering, because sometimes a question can come into our minds, then why do we have the law? Why all these rules and regulations? If salvation just comes by faith in Jesus, then why do we have all these rules? Why does God say, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that? Well, what's the big deal? And we can come to think of service as being part of salvation, but it's not. Salvation is one thing, service is another. And so what Paul was teaching them was this. Service is not a requirement for salvation, but it is a result of salvation. Service is not a requirement. You don't have to serve God to be saved. But people that are saved, they want to serve God. It's just a result. It's an outflow, if you will, of that. So, Paul begins to teach this simple, and it's this principle, and it's really simple. Salvation enables you to serve. In other words, you can't serve God until you're saved first. Until you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, then now you can serve God. You say, but what if I'm a good person? If you're not saved, you don't serve God, no matter how good you are. Yeah, but I've helped people. I've even gone to medical school, and I've saved people's lives, but you still did not serve God. You see, you cannot serve God until you are saved. Salvation enables you and me to be able to serve God. But the question is, how does one serve? How do we serve God? How are we supposed to serve others? I know Paul says that we've been saved by faith, and we've been saved to serve. That's what he says in chapter 5, and you read from verse 1 all the way to verse 12 that we did not read. You'll see that Paul is saying, God has given us freedom, freedom, freedom in salvation. Salvation is all about being free. But he says this freedom is to be able to serve. That's what this freedom is given to us to do, so that now we can serve God. We couldn't do it before, but now we can. We have this freedom. But how are we to do that? Well, I want to share with you five ways that we are to serve that Paul shares here in Galatians chapter 5. I want you to notice in your notes, first of all, that we are to serve lovingly. Notice in verse 13 and 14, I'll read it again. Paul says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty or unto freedom. He says, but only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, he says, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, we've been saved, we've given the freedom to serve, and the way that we are to serve, he says, is by loving others. You know, as a Christian, I can actually serve people by loving them. The only reason that is even possible is because I know what love is. See, John said it this way, God is love. He that knows God knows love. So if we know God, if we've been saved, now we know what love really is. And if we know what love really is, now we know how to love people. You know, there's a lot of things that look like love that are never love. I've seen people do some nice things for other people, but it's all about them, really. It's what they're going to get at the end of it. It's really about selfishly doing something for someone else so that I might get something back. You know, somebody might be real nice to someone else because they're really well off, and maybe they'll give me something later. You see, if you're being nice in that way, you're not really loving that person. You're really loving yourself. But you see, someone that is in a relationship with God, someone that knows God, has been saved, he knows, listen, I can serve, and I can serve lovingly. Now, it's impossible to be able to truly serve someone and despise them or hate them. That's why John says in 1 John, he says, if someone says that they love the Father and they hate their brother, they're a liar. Why are they lying? Because you can't really say you love God. You can't know that love and still hate your brother. And still hate mankind. Still hate people. You can't do it. It's impossible. So how can we serve lovingly? Well, listen, this is going to require for you and me to be selfless. If we're going to truly serve others lovingly, and for some of us that have already signed up in some of the ministries of our church, I want to remind you that when you serve in that ministry, you're called to serve in a loving manner. You're called to serve by loving those that you'll be serving. You see, all true service carries with it a heart that is not focused on oneself. When you love others, serving them becomes something of an easy task. I like what Pastor Oled, he's a pastor in Michigan and a friend of mine, and he would tell me, and he still does sometimes, he says, you know, I always tell my staff there at church, if you just remember, he says, and I tell the people in ministry, not even the ones that are working full-time in the church, just people that are serving in our church, he says, I always remind them, if you just remember that you're here to love people, you'll never need a rule book on what to do. You know, if we just came to church with the idea, I'm here to love God and to love people, man, you would never have to ask someone, hey, can you go say hi to that person over there? You wouldn't need an usher to come and have to say hi to you or wondering who's that new visitor over there. You'll easily go and do that. You'll go and say hi to people, and you'll go and do what you can to help people, and you'll find people that need a bulletin and go give to them. You won't just say, well, where's that usher at? What's he doing? Because we're here to love people. And when you love people, you can serve them. But this requires you and me to be selfless. I like what 1 Corinthians 13:5 is there, I think, in your notes. It says, doth not behave, love doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. Love's not all about me. It's about others. So when you serve in a loving manner, this means that you're going to serve in a selfless manner. It means if pastor recognizes what I did or doesn't, it's okay. Whether I get something out of this or I don't, it's okay. Because it's not about me. It's about them. Not only do you serve lovingly by being selfless, but this also requires you to be supportive. You'll notice there in verse number 15, it says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You know, the words bite and devour, there, what they mean is to wound or destroy a person. Paul says, be careful how you wound people. Do you know that sometimes your words can wound people? Sometimes our words, an unkind word, is something that can hurt somebody's feelings. It can hurt somebody's relationship with me. Sometimes what we talk about in the everyday life, sometimes what we talk about can hurt somebody else's reputation. That's why the Bible says you should probably stay away from gossip. Because it begins to talk about things and about people in a way that you should never be talking about them. It becomes something of a destruction, not something that is supportive of construction. But someone that is serving lovingly is someone that's going to be supportive. It's going to build others up. You see, one thing that we can do is we can be supportive. The opposite of being biting and devouring would be someone that is strengthening and encouraging and building up. You see, as people that can serve, we ought to serve lovingly because it's something that we can do. I like that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." There, the writer of the book of Hebrews said, listen, what we ought to do is be supportive when we're loving people. You be selfless. Listen, it's not about me, but it's all about you. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you served somebody and it's been all about them? When was the last time that you came to church and what you did for someone wasn't about because I have to, but because I want to? That says, I love you enough to do this. You see, if you don't do it, no one else can. You say, well, maybe some corporations can do it. Maybe there's other people that can do it. No, you see, it's those that have been saved that can serve. And this morning, if you say, well, I'm just really shy, or I don't know what to say, or I don't know what to do, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit enabled you to do it. That's why you can do it. You can serve in a loving manner. But I want you to notice, Paul says, not only are we to serve in love with one another, but we are to serve freely. There in verse 16 and verse 17, he says, we can serve freely. Now, one secret to being able to serve others is that we recognize the freedom that we have to do that. The freedom that we have to serve others. We can serve because we are free. That's what Paul was saying, right? He said, all right, you have this liberty. Now use it to serve lovingly, but use it to serve freely. Freely. Do you know, Jesus said this. He says, he that is a sinner, he that does sin is a slave to sin. The slave to sin. You're in bondage. But see, when Christ comes into your life, you've now been free. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to do that. Those that are not saved, they're slaves to their sin. Sometimes you, well, how come they can't stop doing that? And how come they can't forgive this person? Because they're not able to. That's something that Christians are able to do. And God wants us to understand, listen, the freedom that I have given you is so that you can serve freely. Now, how can I do this? Well, this comes through, first of all, the presence of the Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The word walk here refers to how we conduct our life. He's not literally talking about taking one step and then the next step. But he's saying, walking in the Spirit, the way that we conduct our life. To walk in the Spirit is to live according to His view and His standard of living. For instance, we can live loving others because God's love is within us. That's why he can say you can walk freely in the Spirit. Do that. Why? Because his love is in here. You know why we can forgive other people? Because we've been forgiven in here. That's what we've learned. God's forgiveness came to our heart so that we can forgive others. How many times? Up to 490 times and more. Why? Because it's in here. You see, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life allows us to serve freely. But then I want you to notice not only the presence of the Holy Spirit, but the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the presence of the Holy Spirit allows us to see what we can do. The power of the Holy Spirit allows us to do it. His presence helps us to see how we ought to see people. His power allows us to serve as we ought to serve people. Man, you see, the power of the Holy Spirit. He says here, to be led, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To be led here, there in verse number 17, he says, and these are contrary, verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. To be led here literally means to bring along with. If you're led, in other words, if you bring the Holy Spirit with you in your life, you're going to be able to serve freely. Ephesians 3:7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul said, listen, God said, I want you to serve me with your life. And Paul's going, well, how am I going to do that? And God says, I'm going to do it because I'm going to empower you to do that. I'm going to give you my power. Man, it's amazing what you can do through the power of someone else. For instance, I remember when I was really young, and I grew up obviously with three older brothers, and I remember there were times in my life where things needed to happen, right? My brothers needed to stop doing something. Now, what would happen was I would go and tell them, hey, you can't do that. Y'all need to stop. And you know what they would do? They would keep on doing it. They didn't really care what I thought about it. But if I ever went to them and I said, hey, y'all guys need to stop, Dad told me that if you don't stop, he's going to take care of it. Well, that changed everything. Now I was coming with some power behind me. That power would make them shake in their boots. They were scared. You know, that's what the power of God does for us. Is that we go and you say, I can't do it. Yeah, you're right. You can't do it, but God empowers you to do it. God allows you to serve freely, not in bondage of the flesh, but free. That's what he says. He says, if you're walking in the Spirit and you're being led, you're bringing the Holy Spirit with you, then you have the power behind you to do what you need to do, to do what God has called you to do. You see, when it comes to serving God, you got to do it lovingly, you got to do it freely, but thirdly, there in your notes, you got to do it in a way that is holy. When we serve God and when we serve others, we must do it in a way that is holy. The word holy means to be set apart. And to serve in holiness is to serve others in a manner that is different from the world and the flesh. That's why Paul goes into that. Here are the works of the flesh, and this is how they're manifest. And he said this, when you begin to serve God, when you begin to serve others, let me tell you something, you got to do it in a holy manner. You don't do it in the way exactly as the world is living. Because you're called to be holy. You're to be different. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. God calls you and I to serve in a manner that is holy. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world. I've heard so many times Christians say, well, if we're going to reach them, we got to do what they're doing. Can I say, that is one of the biggest lies that the devil wants to throw at people that are serving God? Well, if we're going to, you know, reach the drug addicts, we got to become drug addicts ourselves. Well, that makes no sense. Anyone with half a brain knows you don't need to do that. Oh, we need to if we're going to reach the thieves, we gotta become thieves ourselves. Well, that makes no sense. Doing what they're doing to reach them or change them makes no sense at all. What's going to reach people is when we are different. That's why Jesus said, we're in a world full of darkness, but I want you to be light. Jesus said, we are in this world, but we're not of this world. There's something that is different in our service, and it should be that our service is something that is holy, something that is sacred, something that is set apart, something that is different. We find that if we're going to serve in a manner that is holy, we need to be different and set apart and sacred, but we also must have a holy motive. Paul says not only are these the works of it, and you can see some of those outward works, but then he starts talking about some things that are inward. Some things that you don't just see so easily on the outside, like envy and jealousy. Those are things that are inside. He says, if you're going to serve, you need to serve not only being set apart on the outside, but being set apart on the inside. What is it that motivates you this morning to serve? How is it that you and I are serving? Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 5:13 and 14, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Constrain is the opposite of the word restrain. Restrain is when you're holding somebody back, you're holding them down, you got to restrain them. When someone is being arrested, they put them in handcuffs to restrain them. But Paul says, I'm not restrained by serving God, I'm constrained by his love. I'm motivated to go, it's empowered to go, it's my motive for going. You see, our service is not only measured by what we do, but it's also measured with the heart that we do it with. It's not just the fact that we do it, but what is the attitude that we do that with? You know, it's so funny, if you're a parent in here, you know what I'm talking about. You know when you've asked your son or your daughter to do something, and when they do it with the wrong attitude, no matter if they did what you asked them to do, if they took out the trash like you asked them, but they did it with the most rotten attitude that you could ever see in a human being, you look at them and go, "That there's something wrong here." The motive for why they did it wasn't because they want to help mom or dad. That wasn't it at all. It was something kind of like, "Oh, I got to do this." Ugh. You know what's sad so many times is that in our Christian life, we can get that like that with God. We can get to a point where instead of serving in holiness with the right kind of motives in our life, we start thinking, "Oh, that's what I have to do. Well, I'm a Christian. I guess I have to." What do you mean you have to? You mean you get to. You mean you can. You know, it's kind of like having floor side tickets to a basketball game. It's not like I have to sit on floor side on the very first row at the basketball game. No, I get to. I got those tickets. There's some people that are sitting way up in the balcony and nosebleed section because they don't have what I have. You see, that's what it looks like, and that should be the way that we see when we serve. It's not I have to, it's I get to. I got the tickets that allow me to do this. Christ has given me the freedom to do this. Listen, I don't have to live that way. And I don't have to do those things. I get to do something way better. And I don't have to sit here envying what everyone else has. And I don't have to sit here being jealous of what everyone else has. No, listen, I get to live happily. I get to have joy in my heart. I get to live with the right kind of motives. Motives of like, I love God. Motives of, I just love people. We find that if we're going to serve, Paul says, you need to serve lovingly. You need to serve freely. You need to serve wholly. But then, listen, fourthly, you need to serve fruitfully. But the fruit of the Spirit, he says, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, when serving God and others, we can serve and bear fruit of it. Now, there is something different between fruit and works. Notice he says, now the works of the flesh in verse 19, these are works. But when it comes to the Spirit, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit. Why didn't he say, but the works of the Spirit? You ever thought about that? It's an interesting thought. He says the works of the flesh, but he doesn't say the works of the Spirit. And I believe the reason for that is because of the difference that is in those two things. A work, it can be done by something that is dead. You can create a machine. The machine has no life. It has no soul. And you can create this machine to do things. And we have factories that have all these machines, and they can do all sorts of things. They do all these good works, you can say. They do all this work that you can. You can get a can, and you can fill it with whatever, with Coke or whatever, and they'll put the bottle on it, and they'll make sure the bottle goes through. The machine will do all of that. But it's dead. It's a work done that is dead. But if you were to go to that same machine and say, machine, I want you to produce some grapes for me, they cannot do it because it's dead. And when it comes to the Christian life, the reason it's the fruit of the Spirit is because it's something that is alive. It's something that remains. It's something that comes out of a life. It doesn't come out of good works. It doesn't come out as a result of doing things. It comes out as a result of who we are, of life that is within us. You see, that's why only Christians can serve this way. Because we've been given new life. A life that is different. A life that is eternal. A life that is blessed, happy, different. You see, when you can serve God, you can serve fruitfully. Something that is different from something that is just dead. Now, how can we serve fruitfully? Well, first it starts with personal growth. All fruit has a time of growing. Now, as we serve God and others, we can do so by our life developing what is known as godly character. You'll notice there in the fruit of the Spirit, he begins to talk about love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. He's talking about character in a person's life. These aren't just things you do. These are things that we are. You can be joyful. You can be loving. It's something that should be growing out of our life. You see, when you serve, that's what should be seen. The love behind that service, the meekness behind that service, the temperance behind that service, the fact that you're patient with people. You know, sometimes that can get really hard, especially at church, can't it? It sometimes can get really hard to wait on people and work with people and be patient with people and love people. But the reason we can do it is because we've been saved to serve. And in that service, God has enabled us to serve fruitfully. To serve as a result of who we are. This comes with personal growth. But then this comes through lasting character. You'll notice there is growth in who we are, but then it affects a character in us that is should be a change in us. You see, serving fruitfully continues to produce in us something that is not fading or dying. That's what makes it alive. That's what makes a fruit keep going. It's amazing that you can take an apple, a fruit of a tree, like an apple, and you can get the seeds and plant it, and you can get more apples. Because that's what fruit does. It continues producing more and more. And then you can get from that new tree another apple and get the seeds and plant it, and another tree will come up. I know, I'm surprising some of you with that science theory, but you can do that. And then you can get that third apple tree and take another apple, take off the seed, plant it, and guess what? Another tree comes up, and it'll continue to do it. It'll continue producing and producing and producing. And let me tell you something, when you begin to serve in a fruitful manner, you'll find that it begins to produce. It produces first in me, but you know what you'll see? Is that God will begin working in those people that you're working with and it'll start producing some life in them. And it's amazing how that continues and continues. But I want you to notice lastly, because of time, I want you to notice that we are to serve humbly. Paul ends this chapter, he says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." The ultimate test in service is what attitude you serve with. In this chapter, the last verse focuses on the fact that Paul reminds us that when we serve, we are to do it humbly. That's the attitude of serving. Notice, you'll notice there in verse number 26, he starts off with the phrase, "and be not desirous of vainglory." You see, if you're going to serve humbly, that means you're going to have the right kind of desire in your service. Not desiring vainglory, not my glory, but God's glory. Christ, on the greatest work that he would ever do on this earth, which was going to the cross for your sin and mine, the night before he did that, he said, "God, Father, let not be my will, but thine be done." It's not about my glory, it's about your glory. In Philippians chapter 2, he says that he left glory up on high, heaven, to come down to this earth. He thought it not robbery equal with God, but took upon himself and made himself of no reputation, and he became a servant. Christian life is a paradox. It's I've been free to become a slave. The word servant there is the word that they use for slave. Someone that was to serve someone else for their life, that was what they did. They were a slave. It wasn't a hired servant. There's a different word for that. But Paul didn't use that word. He used the word doulos, servant as a slave. Why? Because he wants to reinforce this idea. What is the attitude that we have? Is it a right desire? Not only that, it's got to have some right decisions behind it. He says, provoking, not provoking one another. That word provoking and envying has that same connotation of doing it pridefully and wrongfully. Paul says if we're going to serve humbly, we ought to do it by encouraging one another and loving one another. Humility always puts others first in the decisions that we make. Not looking for self-interest, but the interest of others is what he's saying. Five ways in which we can serve. Five ways that in 2019 you ought to decide, this is how I'm going to serve in the ministry that I get plugged into. I'm going to serve lovingly. I got to love people. I'm going to serve freely. I got to remind myself that God has made us free so that we can serve. Free from sin. I got to serve holy. Apart, different, because I've been made different, because I am different. I need to serve fruitfully. I need to be something that God is working on me so I can work on others. It's something that I can serve others by being fruitful in Christ. And then serving with humility, with that right attitude. It says, God, there's nothing too small for me. Never has been, there never will be. If that's what you want, that's going to be the biggest thing of my life. Serving humbly. This morning, as we look to serve God and others, let us hear Paul's words to the Galatians when he says, I can. You can serve. You have this liberty to serve, to serve. The question this morning, after studying that passage, is will you serve? Will you serve? Timothy Stackpole was a New York firefighter who was severely burned in the fire that he went into in a building in 1998. He was burned so badly that they were going to allow him to just retire and live off of the disability that he had, I guess, earned, you could say, through being the firefighter, going into that building and doing what he did. But Timothy was not ready to retire. Timothy was not going to allow the burns on his body to stop him from doing what he had passion to do and loved to do. And since he was a great firefighter, passionate about his work, he went back into the station and continued working, and soon he was promoted to captain. But in 2001, Timothy, being the captain of the fire station where he was at, got the call that a plane had run into a building, one of the Twin Towers. And Timothy ran into that building, not thinking about his burns and not thinking about anything of himself, but thinking about the fact that he could serve. As he ran into that building, it collapsed and took his life. But Timothy knew his calling. Is to serve people. That was his passion. That's what he knew his life was all about. You know, the Holy Spirit has called us to a life of serving. The question is, will you serve him? God has made it possible to have service in his church. But will you go and sign up and serve? Man, I encourage you. I encourage you because you can. You can serve. Just make the decision today to do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Father, thank you for the truth that we find here in Galatians chapter 5. Father, the fact that we have been called to serve, we've been saved to serve. Father, we cannot just serve any old way. Father, there's a way that that service is going to really be productive. And that's by serving in a loving manner. Father, that's by following the principles of your word that we studied this morning. And I pray that the decisions would be made by those of us here this morning. That's what we want to do with our life. Is that we want to serve. That be the purpose, the calling for us to do. Empower us, I pray, Father, to continue serving and loving you, and Father, that we might be able to do so in a manner that would honor and glorify you. Speak to us by your Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen.